Let's come before the Lord and pray together this morning. Father in heaven, you are great, and we just thank you for being God. When we look around us, when we look out into the universe at night, we are just amazed. We're amazed that you made us the pinnacle of your creation. And you made all things for us. And so we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, also for the things that you do for us, the great things you have done, that you have brought us salvation and redemption in the Lord Jesus. That is worth everything, and that lasts forever. And we are just grateful that you have allowed us to be your children because of what Jesus did. Lord, you tell us to bring our requests and our needs before you, and so we do that this morning. We come before you and we ask for those who are ailing physically. You put us in these bodies. We live in these bodies for this short time, and we learn many, many lessons. Having to be caught in space and time, we can only be one place at a time. And we just thank you for teaching us what it means to be your created being, your servant, your child. And so we ask for those who are struggling with their bodies today. We lift them up to you, Lord, in the quietness of our heart just now. Hear us as we pray for them. Lord, we want to lift up as a congregation this morning, Connie Wasilewski, who is in a rehab center now and is recovering from the effects of a pretty significant stroke. And so we pray for her in the days ahead that you would help her and bless her. And we'll thank you for all that you will do and give Karen and the other relatives around Connie clarity of thought and sight as to what she needs and what they can do for her. And thank you that she has people who care about her and love her. We lift up Linda Kalgren, who is still struggling with a very tough type of Lyme's disease. And so we just pray for her and ask that you would strengthen her and give her healing. We pray for Linda McGee's father, who had a very difficult episode this week in relationship to his chemotherapy. So make the road ahead clear for them. And we just pray for him and ask for healing for him as well. And ask that you would gather his family tightly around him to bless him in these difficult days. Lord, we again lift up all the students who are going back to school now and all that means. And we just pray that we would, as parents and grandparents, be responsible for the education of our children as you have called us to be, and that we would teach them your word as the foundation of everything else they come in contact with. And so give us strength and courage to do that and clarity so that we can make contact and help them understand what you're saying to all of us. We pray for the ministries that this church does. We lift up especially this week women's ministry and also the missions team for all that they do in reaching out into the community around us and weaving us together more solidly as a community of believers. We pray for Meg Stubbs this week, our families of the week, Meg Stubbs and the Tarabishis, Ramsey and Nasima. And we thank you for the blessing that they bring into this congregation and ask that you would bless them in the days ahead. For all these things that are going on, Lord, for what's going on in the world around us, we pray for our leaders, that you would hold them responsible for doing good and right things, that you would use us to hold them responsible. And so we pray that for those who would wish to do that, that they would have the courage to do that, whatever the cost in their career or their fame or whatever it is that's at risk for them. Lord, we pray for those who are in war-torn areas, especially we think of the Ukraine, and Lord, that you would bring rightness and goodness to that place again as well, and raise up leaders to fight back wickedness that is going on. We pray for fellow believers that are in dire straits, that are difficult situations. Some just need food. Some are being persecuted because they're followers of Jesus, your Son. And so we pray for them that you would strengthen them and help us to take their example very keenly and strongly in our own lives. And so for this, we will thank you, Lord. And now we give thanks that you are coming back to us, and we pray for your rapid return. We pray that you would bring rightness and justice on the earth, and we know that is falling on us as well. Teach us to live like you're coming today. And so we look forward to your coming, Lord Jesus. And for all these things, we ask that you would accept our praise and be glorified as we hear your word opened up before us today. And we will thank you in the name of Jesus for all these things. Amen. And we can release the children to Children's Church at this time.
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank you, Pastor Leon, for giving me the opportunity to speak here this morning. Get this out of the way. And I want to thank the praise team. So I was looking up here. I don't usually get to notice this because I'm always busy up top there doing the sound or something like that. But normally Brody is on the bass. And Leon's not usually up here. He's usually here. And normally Mark was on the drums, but he's usually playing guitar. And Hunter's away getting some type of a motorcycle license or something, had a class. I don't know. Anyway. So, and then Tina was away for a few weeks, and we missed her voice. And my wife is always here pretty much every week because she's in charge of it. So, but I just think it's a neat thing when people come together like that. And I want to give another shout out to all the tech team that helps out every week that you all don't think about unless there's a problem, right? So Greg has a chance to sit with his wife this morning. He's not up there, but he helps out a lot. Wes Toll is doing the stream this morning for those who are home. Good morning, home people. And Clark Gillette is doing the sound, so appreciate him. And Nathan Coddington is up there doing the presentation. Ramsey helps out. Ramsey Tarabishi doing the presentation. They switch every few weeks. And I think I got everybody. 1, 2, 3. Is there anybody else? That's it. Ryan comes once a month. Ryan Embry. So we just want to thank all those guys that help out so faithfully. And they switch off. Do a great job. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Or if you need to open your app, Philippians chapter 2, please, your Bible app. And let's stand as we read the Bible. Please, stand together. The version that I'm using to read this morning is the Old King James. I didn't hear any groans. Okay, that's good. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have I labored in vain. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the way that it touches our hearts. Thank you for the way that you work in our lives every day, every week. Many times we don't even realize it, but you are always working. Thank you for showing your love to us in that way. Lord, I thank you for the way that you worked things out this morning. And I just pray that somehow this would be a blessing to some folks this morning and maybe a challenge. Please do a work in our lives, your children. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So I was thinking about this morning over the last few weeks, and I had a sermon all ready to go. And I was speaking a couple weeks ago to Dan O'Neill, and I said, yeah, I got a sermon, and I said, I think I'm just going to use this one that I have. And he said, well, it's because I spoke it 3 or 4 weeks ago at another church. And he said, well, it's much easier, and I'll never forget this. He said, it's much easier to change an audience than a sermon. I said, oh, yeah, that is great. Dave Langer loved that. So, but well, Dan, God had other plans. So God had another thing. He worked things around. But so I was thinking about this, and one of the reasons that my mind kind of changes, I had heard about a number of people that have been going through some hard times, difficult times in life, whatever it is. And I know that there's many people here in this congregation, you're going through hard times, something is just difficult. God is working on you, or God is allowing you to be tested, like you're in God's workshop. He's using some chisels on you and it hurts. You know what I'm talking about? Or maybe you feel like you're in the fire. You're a precious metal and you're getting burnt up and so that the impurities can come out. Well, I want to encourage you not to run away from God while he's working on you. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we are God's workmanship. Let me get this thing. There we go. Hey, it works. I've never had to use this before. So we are God's workmanship, or handiwork, or masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Do you ever think about the fact that God likes to show us off as Christians? You think about that? Well, I was looking through some things, and you know, we go through difficult times, and some people think, well, that's not as hard as what I've been through. I had this happen to me. Well, leave it to Mark Twain to come up with a good quote. Whoop, we got to go back. How do I get back? Okay. Mark Twain said, I've lived through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. Great job, Mark Twain. Okay, good. Well, it's during these hard times that we must stay in God's workshop, even when life is difficult. Don't ask God to jump out. And I think Paul gives us 4 specific points in this portion of the Bible that we read, these few verses, that we can remember when going through a hard time, going through a difficult time, whatever it is, when you're in God's workshop, 4 things that you can be doing or should be doing while God is working on you. So number 1, stay faithful. Look at verse 12, please. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Christians, the Christ followers in the city of Philippi. many years ago. He says, "My beloved, my friends, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence when I was with you, but now that I'm away from you, do it, obey even more. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul's saying to those, he says, continue obeying, continue to work out your own salvation. Think about it very seriously. It's very important. Look at what the New Living Translation says. It says, be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives. That's pretty good, isn't it? Put into action God's saving work. I came across an article from the Turning Point Ministry. You heard of David Jeremiah Turning Point? Yes? He's good ministry, yeah. So read this with me. You don't have to read it out loud. I'll read it out loud. But this, he says, God is preparing you for the ministry that he is preparing for you. He's working at both ends of the process in your life to prepare you for a unique role of service. He's preparing beforehand the work he's giving you in his timing. Ooh, this is good. So wherever you are right now is God's classroom for future service. Whatever you are right now, God has given you experiences that are training you for future service. And I cut this out, but he mentions people like David. When David was a shepherd, God was preparing him to be the king. And when Moses was in the wilderness and going through all this difficult time, God was preparing Moses to be the leader. And he gives other examples in the Bible. But he says, whatever you are, right now, God is giving you experiences that are training you for future service. It may be over a long period of time, or maybe just a few minutes, but he equips us with what we need to serve him. So are you a follower of Christ? Are you a Christian? Oh, I'm getting some over here, some nods over here and a couple of verbals over here. Nothing in the middle. Hello? Okay, good. All right. Are you a Christian? Okay, if so, you are. Christ Jesus did everything that was needed for our salvation on the cross. Is there anything else that needs to be done for our salvation? No. He did it all. We can't add anything to make our salvation better or to make us better or more qualified to be saved. Jesus did it. That's grace, period. But Paul says, now that you're saved, which I'm taking it as applied to here, now that you're in God's workshop, be faithful to take action on yourself and grow spiritually. So we need to stay faithful. Whoop, let me go back. Stay faithful while in God's workshop. And he says it this way. He says, while in God's workshop, he says, do things, this is my summary. He says, do things that you know are right all the way to the end of your life. You don't stop. It's a marathon. Just keep going. Stay faithful. Number 2, let God work while you are in God's workshop. Now, as many of you, most of you know, I do my own business doing audio, video, and tech work and stuff like that, and I do a lot of different things. Sometimes I wish I would just do one simple thing and do it all the time, but that's not me, so I'm thankful for the variety. But one of the things, I was just going to show you, but that's just me a couple months ago. I was running sound at a church retreat up in Boston. But one of the other things that I do is, just a little example, I've done this at some of your houses and at the church here, is I mount TVs on walls. That's just a small, I do internet, audio, video, everything. But one of the things, I mount TVs on the walls, on the wall. And so I'll go to a customer's house, and we'll talk and say, okay, where do you want it? Oh, here, okay, it's going to look about like this. I'll get, blah, blah, blah. And I say, okay. And most of the time, the person will say, all right, we good? Yeah, I'm good. Just give me about an hour and a half, and I'll be done. I'll come, He says, "Oh," they say, "Okay, I'll be in my office. If you need anything, just give me a holler, let me know, or I'll be in the kitchen cleaning up, whatever." And but there's some people that will just kind of sit down, and they'll sit down and they'll just watch me. And oh, that's Steve. Well, I've never seen that before. What are you doing? Well, I have to do this so that you can do X, Y, Z. Oh, okay, I see that now. That makes sense. Yep, it does. And they'll sit there, they'll talk, and so how long have you been doing this? Oh, I've been doing this 20 plus years. You know, just keep going. And well, what are you doing that for? I say, well, I have to do this because if I don't do this, you won't be able to do 1, 2, 3. Oh, well, that's a good idea. Yep, it is. And sometimes it gets to the point where I just want to say, go away! Quit stifling me. You know, your being here takes more money out of your pocket because you're taking more time for me to do this. Just go away. Just let me work. Now, those of you that, if I know you, you don't have to walk. If I'm working at your house, and you don't have to walk away. I like to talk to people I know. But with people I don't know, it's just like, you know, I got a job to do. But it's just like, you're in my space. You're stifling me. I can't work when you're sitting there observing me and watching me and talking to me. And I thought about this. Look at verse 13. It says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work, for his good pleasure." Look at the first phrase. "For it is God who works in you." I thought about this and I said, what do we do in our lives that stifle God from working? Are there things, that actions that we take, maybe a sin that we commit, maybe it's a small one, but it stifles God's working in our lives? You ever think about that? If God is working in your life, even if it's difficult, let it happen, right? Isn't that what we should be doing? Say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. It is God who works in you for his will and to work for his good pleasure. That's it. What an encouraging verse. During the hard times, God is working so that his good pleasure, what he wants, can be accomplished in our lives. His working in me and you is pleasure to him. Think about something that you do that you enjoy. Well, not that God enjoys putting pain in your life, but he wants you to be his beautiful masterpiece, his beautiful handiwork, his workmanship, that he can show to the rest of the world. Let go control of your life. Let God have his way in your life. Don't stifle him. Let him work. Number three, don't complain. How many of you like to be around a complainer? If you raise your hand, you've probably been sleeping for the last couple of minutes. Okay, good. Nobody likes to be... You don't like to be around somebody who complains all the time. Look at verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, complaining, arguing, disputing. Now catch this. Look closely in this verse, everybody. I want you to look at this again. This is very, very important point. And the Bible is just wonderful in how it says things. Notice that verse 14 does not say, don't complain, or don't challenge, or don't argue about everything. Does it say that? No, it doesn't. You see that? What does it actually say? What's the first three words in this verse? It's an action before it's telling you what not to do. You see that? It says, do all things That means you're taking action in your spiritual life. Do all things. You're busy without complaining. Did you see that? God just didn't say, don't complain, don't argue, don't worry. No, do everything. Continue doing these action things in your life without doing this complaining or without this arguing or this worrying and all that stuff. Here's a question for you. Let's be honest, we all complain. Okay? We've all done it. Question. Does anybody feel good after you complain? Huh? You do something like you had a nice meal. I feel great now. This is just wonderful. Or those of you that are into exercise, you just ran a little bit. I feel invigorated. Well, we complain. I feel better now. No, you don't feel good after you complain. It's just never a good thing. When you worry, and I think complaining, I put worrying in parentheses up there because when you complain about something, when you argue about, say you're at work and you're complaining, you're arguing about your work or what the people above you, they're just not competent or whatever. I know none of you would never do that. But you complain and you argue and then you leave your work and you're thinking about what's going to happen the next day with your boss or who's not competent. And so you start to worry. Worry. Does anybody worry? Hello. We all worry, don't we? Yes. Well, I wanted to pause here, and I look up, I tried to look up some things that were kind of interesting. And there we go, Mark Twain again. But this is pretty good. He says, worrying. Now, Mark Twain said some things about the Lord and religion that aren't good, but he's kind of a funny guy. But he said, this is pretty good. Worrying is like paying a debt you don't owe. This next one is kind of funny, and I wanted to throw it in. Mickey Rivers, he was a baseball player in, I think, the 70s. I always liked his name when I was a little kid. But he had a pretty good quote, and you have to roll along with me, folks, so just forgive me if I don't read this well, but he says, ain't no sense worrying about the things you got control over, because if you got control over them, ain't no sense worrying. And ain't no sense worrying about the things you don't got control over, because if you don't got control over them, ain't no sense worrying. So basically he's saying, whether you got control or whether you don't, you shouldn't worry. Most of you have heard of Rick Warren, purpose-driven life author. He's written a lot of books, large church in California. He's credited with this. I don't know if this is original, but basically, worry is a waste of energy. He says things so simply sometimes. He's actually pretty good sometimes. It can't change the past. It can't control the future. It only makes the present miserable. We complain. We worry. We complain and we worry. It's just not healthy. And why do we do that? Because we don't trust God.
Amen.
We don't. Maybe we think we've fallen a little short in our lives of what God wants us to do. Or maybe we won't admit this, but basically what we're saying when we worry and complain is we're saying, I don't think God is big enough to handle what's going on in my life. Ooh, ouch. Stepping on some toes here. Yeah. That's not good. God has everything under control. Don't complain. Don't argue. Don't question things. do all things without complaining or arguing or worrying. Keep busy. Keep busy while in God's workshop. Number 4, verse 15. Shine bright. Look at verse 15. Why, Paul's saying, do all these things. Why? That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the middle of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I think Paul had a pretty good... A lot of times we think that our world is so much worse today than it was back in the Bible time. No. Paul realized how bad the world was. He says it's a crooked and twisted generation of people. He says, when you're living your life in the middle of this crooked and wicked and perverted generation of people, shine bright. The darker it is, the brighter the light shines. Yeah. So think about this. We are, as Christians, as children of God, as followers of God, we are light holders or light reflectors. Do we have actually light of our own? No, because we work in the world, we live our lives, but God is in us. Jesus, the light of the world, is in us, and he is the one that's doing the shining. It's kind of like the moon. Does the moon have any light of its own? No. One of my family members, when they were adults, says, I never knew that. Yeah. the moon doesn't have any light of its own, but it's reflecting the sun. The sun gives the light. The S-O-N gives us light that we reflect to this dark and crooked and perverted world, this perverted generation. And at times it often seems like God is putting us in a fire. Maybe it's our job, or maybe it's a family situation, or maybe it's, I could go down the list, many lists of whatever you're going through in your life. It's difficult. You can still shine your light to those around you and be a good, strong encouragement and a testimony to those around you. You may feel like you're this beautiful silver, piece of silver or a precious metal, and God's got you in the fire. What's he doing? Like a silversmith. He's refining us. He wants the impurities to rise up to the top so that he can scrape us off. Oh, that hurts. I don't like that scratching. It hurts when the temperature gets hot, when the impurities get scraped away. But God wants us to be faithful and beautiful light bearers for him. And then look at the next verse, verse 16. The question I want to ask you is, what are we to shine? Okay, so if we're to shine, while we're in God's workshop, while God is working on us, what should we shine? We shine Jesus, we reflect Jesus to others, but Paul points out, holding strong the what? Verse 16. The word of life. Hold up the Bible. Now, that involves reading and getting to know the Bible, taking time to know it, letting it just getting into you, ingrained, kind of like stain goes into a piece of wood. It just sinks in and it's inside. That's what we need to let the Bible do to us. While we're going through a hard time, let this Bible come into us so that we can shine the Bible back out. Get to know it. Read it. We let others see Jesus, the light of the world in us. Let others see the Bible in us. Let others see that we are God's masterpiece. We are His workmanship. We are His handiwork. Well, you don't have to raise your hand, but if I asked you, I'm going to ask you, are you going through a hard time right now? Do you feel like you're in God's workshop? Some of you say, oh, yes, yes, I'm going through a hard time. Some of you will shout your hand and shout up and stand, me, I'm going through a really hard time. Well, I don't know what's going on in your life. I think pretty much everybody is going through one hard time or another. And if not, I think you need to check your heart. Because I think everybody's going through a little bit of a hard time. Sometimes things hurt more than others. That scraping, that sanding, that chiseling, that tool that you run it back and forth, and it just pulls a little layer of wood off, a little bit at a time to make it smoother. Or maybe you're in the fire, and it's hot. And as the temperature gets hotter, and as God puts you closer to the heartbeat of that flame, the blue and the white color flame, it gets hotter. No, I don't want to get any closer. It hurts too much. I don't want to go through this anymore, God. No. Philippians 1:6. A lot of you know this verse. Say it with me together, please. Be confident of this. Come on. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Woo! God, he began a good... The moment that you said yes to God, the moment you said, God, all right, I messed up. I need Jesus to fix me. And you ask Jesus to become your Lord and Savior, and you become a follower of Christ, you become a Christian, the moment that that happens, you're starting that process of being in God's workshop. Sometimes God puts you a little closer to the fire than others. Hey, but what a wonderful encouragement. Be confident. Remember this point, Christian, follower of Jesus, that he, God who has begun a good work in you, he's going to carry it on. Present tense, ongoing. He's going to carry it on unto the day of Jesus Christ, either when you pass away or when Jesus Christ comes back. Does that encourage you? Anybody?
Amen.
I think that's a wonderful thought. No matter what we're going through, I can remember that God, it's God that's doing the work. It's not somebody else that's making us hurt. It's God that has allowed it to happen. God is doing the work. So what does Paul say? Let's review. And I'm going to have the praise team come up at this time as we close up here. So he says, verse 12, stay faithful. While you're in God's workshop, stay faithful. Keep busy doing what you're doing. Live out your life actively. Number two, let God work. Don't sit there and question God what he is doing in your life. Say, God, why are you doing this? I don't want this to happen. Please let this go away from me. Okay. Let God work. Number three, don't complain. Don't worry about what is going on. Don't question things. Number four, shine bright in God's workshop. Shine bright. So I thought of another point that I wanted to bring to your attention. And many times I say, in my life or in your life, you probably said, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. God, I just don't want to go through this anymore. It just hurts too much. You can stop working on me now. Anybody been there? Okay, I'm not the only one. So I thought of a question. It's not going to go. Oh, well. The question I thought of was, how does God know when he is done with us? And I came across this article many years ago. And it talks about some ladies who were in a Bible study. And they were reading going through talking about God when he puts people in the fire, going through a hard time, and they came across this verse in Malachi that says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And so the ladies were sitting around, and they said, well, I wonder what that means. So one of the ladies said, I'll go to a silversmith person. That's the right word, I don't know. And I'm going to find out what this person says, what he says that means. So she gets in contact. She goes to meet this guy, the silversmith guy, and she didn't tell him why she was coming. But so she sits down and she watches the silversmith, and he holds a piece of silver over the fire, and he let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire, where the flames were hottest, so they could burn away the impurities. And then the woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. And then she thought again about this verse in Malachi that says, he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. So she asked the silversmith, if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time. I need to get a drink, excuse me. If the silversmith had to sit there and for the whole time and hold the silver. So he replies, yes, I do. He said, not only that, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. He says, if the silver was left a moment too long in the flame, it could be destroyed. So the woman, she's sitting there watching me. She thought for a moment. She asked him, well, how do you know when the silver is refined and done? And he says, well, that's easy. He says, when I see myself in it. You're in the fire. You're in the deep fire. It feels like you're hot. You can't do it anymore. Stay in God's workshop. Don't ask God to run if you can run away. Stay in God's workshop. He knows exactly when you're going to be done. Let's stand and sing.